أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توغى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. خداوند متعال قرآن مجید میں فرماتا ہے کہ ان اللہ لا یغیر ما بقوم حتى یغیر ما بانفسهم، کہ خدا جو ہے کسی قوم کے اندر کوئی تغییر اور کوئی تبدیلی نہیں لاتا مگر یہ کہ قوم خود اپنے اندر تبدیلی اور تغییر لائے. اگر دیکھیں آپ، کمیونٹی جو ہے افراد سے بنتی ہے، اور جب افراد اس کمیونٹی کے صالح اور پاک ہوتے ہیں تو خود کمیونٹی بھی جو ہے صالح اور پاک بن جاتی ہے. خدا کا وعدہ ہے کہ اس زمین پر اس کی حکومت ہوگی. لقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر ان الارض يرثها عبادي الصالحون، خدا کا وعدہ ہے اور خدا کبھی جھوٹ نہیں بولتا. تو جب حکومت خدا کی ہوگی تو طریقہ بھی بتایا کہ خدا کا ولی، خدا کا خلیفہ اس وقت حکومت کرے گا کہ قوم جو ہے پاک ہو، قوم صالح ہو، افراد اتنے ہوں اس کے اندر جو امام کا ساتھ دے سکیں. تو ہم سب امام کا انتظار کر رہے ہیں. اب دیکھنا یہ ہے کہ امام کے اس انتظار میں صرف ایک لقلقے لسانی اور زبانی ہے جو ہم کہتے ہیں کہ امام کا ظہور ہو، یا نہیں، سچے دل سے یہ ہمارا پیغام ہے، سچے دل سے یہی دعا ہے ہماری. اور اگر سچے دل سے یہ دعا ہے ہماری تو ہم امام کو آیا یاد بھی کرتے ہیں یا نہیں؟ اور امام کو اگر یاد کرتے ہیں، یہ یاد کتنی سچی ہے؟ آیا جب ہمیں ضرورت ہوتی ہے اسی وقت امام کو یاد کرتے ہیں، اور جب ضرورت پوری ہو گئی اس وقت امام کو بھی جو ہے فراموش کر دیا؟ تو یہ بھی جو ہے غلط ہے، یہ ہائر فائر کا سلسلہ جو ہے غلط ہے. تو جو طریقہ جو بتایا گیا ہمیں، مثلا اگر آپ دیکھیں اپنی اولاد کو جب انہیں کہیں بھیجتے ہیں آپ، یا ہم جب کہیں بھیجتے ہیں ان کو، کتنے پریشان ہوتے ہیں کہ آیا یہ اپنے مقصد تک پہنچے نہیں پہنچے، کہاں پر ان کے زیادہ راہ دیا، ٹفن دیا، پیک لنچ دیا انہیں، اور اگر ان کا موبائل جو ہے تھوڑی دیر سے جواب دے یا وہ آنسر نہ کریں تو کتنا ہم پریشان ہو جاتے ہیں. آیا یہی پریشانی اپنے امام کے لیے بھی ہے یا نہیں ہے؟ آیا اتنا بھی ہم یاد کرتے ہیں امام کو اپنے؟ اور اگر نہیں کرتے تو اپنے آپ کے اندر اپنی اصلاح کریں، اور امام کی یاد میں شب و روز، اور چند ایک منٹ دن میں نکال کر جو امام کو ہر روز یاد کریں ہم. اور اگر انسان یہ سلسلہ شروع کرے کہ امام کی یاد میں رہے، دعا کے ذریعے، نماز کے ذریعے، اگر دعا اور نماز کا اگر انسان کے اندر حوصلہ نہیں ہے تو کوئی بات نہیں، بیٹھ کے تھوڑی دیر کے لیے گفتگو کریں امام سے، اور خدا سے یہی چاہے کہ خدا جو ہے ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرمائے. اور یہ ممکن ہے. اور ہمارے پاس روایات بھی بڑی عجیب روایات ہیں کہ جب آپ امام کو یاد کرتے ہیں، اس سے پہلے کہ آپ کی آواز اپنے آپ کے کان تک پہنچے، امام تک پہنچ جاتی ہے وہ. اب ایک ایسے امام جو کہ انیس ہیں، جو کہ شفیق ہیں، جو کہ رفیق ہیں، جو کہ دوست ہیں، فرینڈلی ہیں، مونس ہیں، وہ ہم پر ہیں، ان کا سایہ ہم پر ہے، ان کی حمایت، ان کی دعائیں ہمارے ساتھ ہیں. حتیٰ یہ بھی روایت میں ملتا ہے کہ جب آپ بیمار ہوتے ہیں تو معصوم فرماتے ہیں کہ ہم بھی بیمار ہوتے ہیں. جب آپ کسی پریشانی میں مبتلا ہوتے ہیں تو ہم بھی پریشان ہوتے ہیں. جب آپ دعا کرتے ہیں کہ ہم آمین کہتے ہیں. تو یہ رابطہ جو ہے معصوم کا ہمارے ساتھ موجود ہے. لیکن ہمیں بھی اس طرف سے جو ہے اس رابطے کو اس کی تقویت کرنی چاہیے. اس کے مختلف طریقے ہیں کہ انشاءاللہ اگر اور بھی توفیق ملی تو اس بات پر اور بھی روشنی ڈالوں گا. Returning to our topic, yesterday we touched a few points on prayers, that we have prayers that are satanic, we have prayers that are divine, and divine prayers, they are those prayers that attract the mercy of Allah. And if a prayer does not attract the mercy of Allah, that prayer is a satanic prayer. So the whole aim is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have created man and jinn for the sake of servitude, so that they come closer and closer to Allah. And if that is lacking, then that prayer is of no use. That is why we have in all worships, in all ibadat, that you have to have an intention of seeking nearness to Allah. If you don't have that intention of seeking nearness to Allah, that worship becomes null and void, it's batil. So, every worship must possess that. And prayer is among salat, it's among those worships, those duties to which a lot of emphasis has been given. If you look into the seerah of our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, he was in his last moments giving away his life and his eyes were closed. All of a sudden he opens his eyes and then says, La tanalu shafa'atuna mustakhiffan bis salat, that our mediation, our shafa'at will never get to someone who takes prayers easy. So we have to protect these prayers. Don't take them easy, don't be neglectful, and that we protect this gem in the best possible way, we put these components together in the best possible way so that it attracts the mercy of Allah. And it was mentioned that the best time when there's a downpour of mercy, it's the morning prayers. It doesn't mean that all the rest of the day it doesn't exist. It exists, it's there all the time. But that is the peak hours when a person can benefit a lot. And if there are tasks that you do late night, don't do them. Then put them off, go to sleep and wake up for the morning prayers. And you find that due to the barakat of that time, a person benefits more than what he had worked during the night. And again, we've got amazing visions that were seen, dreams that were seen, or reports that we have, that if there is obedience to parents, you find that Allah opens up miraculously for you outlets that you are amazed. It was mentioned the other day that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. In Qum, there was a student living in a small house with just one room in it and one light. And then the mother also is there. The student, he studies in the night. And it so happens that one day he comes from his lessons and the mother is asleep. The light is off. Between the two rooms, there's one room. Between the son's place and the mother's place is one curtain. He says that my mother is asleep. If I turn the light on for my studies, it's going to disturb her. What do I do? If I don't study, tomorrow my lessons will be a disaster. Because it's my usual habit that I study at night. That day he says that for the sake of my mother, so that she sleeps, I won't study tonight and I'll make up in the morning. And he says that it was as if that someone is giving me a lesson all night till the morning. And that day when I woke up, I was taught much better than I used to study every day. And that day, the lessons, the output, the performance was much better than any other day. So someone who does something sincerely for the sake of God, to seek the nearness of God, for the sake of his mother, he turns the light off and he rests. And he doesn't study, Allah compensates it in that way. So the time of the morning, that is from the Fajr till the sunrise, and if someone could wake up even a bit more earlier than that, that is the bonus period where a person can benefit a lot. Recitation of Quran, recitation of du'as, or whatever your tasks are, a person benefits much more at that time. One of the important topics regarding Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala is to be his friend. What do we do so that we become a friend of the Imam? And our Imams, they've taught us a lot, all the different ways how a person can become a friend, a helper, an associate of the 12th Imam. One of the teachings that we have is that in the mornings after your Fajr prayers, you recite Dua al-Ahd. There is another one called Ziyaratul Ahd. Ziyaratul Ahd, it's the small version, it's half a page, it will not take more than 1 minute and a half, 90 seconds for you to read it. And the Dua al-Ahd, it's a lengthy one, it will take about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. So these two du'as, it's a pledge of allegiance between us and the Imam. In that ziyarat, it's the same. Du'a al-Ahd also, it's the same. There we say that, Allahumma inni ujaddidu lahu fi sabihati yawmi hadha. And it's amazing over here. Inshallah, I'll shed some light on this later on. That is, O God, I renew this allegiance on this day. With who? With the Imam. Now, when he says ujaddidu, it's a renewal of an agreement. So where has the agreement taken place? The agreement should have taken place somewhere that I am renewing that agreement today. And when I say again tomorrow, I am renewing this agreement today, so where was the contract signed? That a question may come to one's mind when it says Ziyaratul Ahd or Du'aul Ahd, pledge of allegiance, name of both du'as, and then says Ujaddidu, I renew. There is a debate, and there is an ayah in Quran which says that there is an alam that was before this world which we have stepped into that was known as alam-e dhar or alam-e alast. When Allah, when He created Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the entire creation, He proposed, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? There were some who were quick in accepting this proposal of Allah that He is the Lord. The first to accept was the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that, over there in that alam, in that zone, this contract of allegiance with the Imam was signed by us. That is, a Shia, if he is a Shia, it's not just over here. That test was passed and given somewhere else. As a result of that, they were made and created as Shias in this world. So then the Prophet was the first and the foremost who accepted that invitation of Allah, and He appointed him as the messenger, His best prophet in this world. And the same thing with all other a'imma, ma'sumeen. And again it is said that over there, what performance was done by us, we don't know, nor are we going to be punished or rewarded for that performance over there. And as many as 30 awalim have been listed by ulama before this. There have been awalims, there have been zones in the mother's womb, and prior to that, and after this, it's barzakh, and then the qiyamah, the day of judgment. So this contract is renewed here, and it was signed over there. So a Shia is a Shia, not just out of the blue. It wasn't a big bang and a Shia came into existence. No, they were from there. And that is something which we find in our riwayat, that Shiatuna qad khuliqu min fadhili tinatina wa ujinu bi nur al wilaya, that they've been created with the leftover clay with which ma'sumin were created and mixed with the light of wilaya. So it's quite an interesting topic, and inshallah, if we get some time, we'll shed more light on this. And again, so says that we renew the contract here, but the contract was signed over there. There is a hadith, again, if you get some time, you can look it up into the Usul-e-Kafi. It's called the Hadith al-Lawha Fatima. And it is, in a way, the birth certificate of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn that was given by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to the Prophet through Jibreel to be delivered to Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Muhammad. And it's amazing that when Abu Abdullah is born, the birth certificate comes from Allah. And it's beautiful. I'll recite just a few phrases from that. So, we say that Allah make it as such that I renew this agreement or this contract with the Imam this day. وَفِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ And every day. And then we say that, O Allah, make it as such that I see him. That is a request, a desire that we want to see and meet the Imam. And the riwayat, they say that someone whose desire was to meet the Imam, to see the Imam, and he recited this dua ahd, or the ziyaratul ahd, during his lifetime, Allah will bring him back to life if he has passed away and the Imam comes after him. So that is what Ma'asum says. And again, in Siyahat al-Gharb, this book written by Marhum Quchani, he says that, and also there are riwayat, they say that when the Imam comes, there will be a call, a page in the Alam of Barzakh that those mu'mineen who want to be with the Imam, they can join the Imam. So again, that is another bonus that they have been people again in the past, that every Friday, because Friday is the day of the arrival of the Imam, they prepared themselves from the morning with the minimum ammunition or whatever the means of defense they had with them, ready, sitting, just waiting for the call for the Imam to come and for them to rush out in his support and his service. Even today, there might be people of this caliber. That is, they are so much in the remembrance of the Imam that they remember him to that maximum, that every Friday they are prepared to leave. And this is what we find in the du'as that we have for Friday, that it is the day of the arrival of the Imam. And again, amazing friends, amazing associates Imam has in this time of his ghaibat, that is today in this period. And I'll just mention a few of them over here. There have been people who have seen the A'imma, who have witnessed the presence of the Prophet, witnessed the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen and all the other A'imma. But although they saw the Imams, their outcome, their performance wasn't good, wasn't satisfactory. We are living at a time we haven't seen the Imam. So we have been told that there is the Imam, 12th Imam. We have faith in him. So as if we have faith in ghaib, Quran says that يؤمنون بالغيب, that there are those mu'mineen, muttaqeen, there are those who have faith in ghaib, in the unseen. And when Ma'asum was inquired, he says that هو الحجة الغائب, that unseen ghaib in that ayah, it is that hujjah, the argument, the imam who is unseen. So we have faith in him. People then, they saw the Imam, they never had faith in them. Among these personalities can be mentioned, it's Harsamat bin Salim. On the day of Ashura, when everything was set up and the battle was about to start, Harsamat bin Salim, he gallops towards Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, and says that, after seeing whatever has unfolded on this day of Ashura, I was reminded of an incident which took place 30 years ago in the Battle of Siffin, when I was in the company of your father, and we came and we passed by this land of Karbala. And what your father did then was amazing. Says that when he came to this land of Karbala 30 years ago, he says to every one of us, to the army which was with him, that we will be settling down here tonight. And then all night he worshipped in sajda, and he was just crying and weeping. And then in the morning he says that, wa han laka ayyuhat turbat turba, Ha Huna Manahu Rukab Masar or Shah, that this is the place where the camps will settle down. And then he says that this is the place where my Hussein will fell. That is where those camps of my household will be set. That is where the enemies will set their camps, and this is where this fight would take place. And then he says that I just forgot. And I was reminded today of what happened 30 years ago. Imam says, okay, Harsama, now that you know, and he says that, Imam, you are on Haqq, I know. Ibn Ziyad is on Batil, the evil. Imam says, now what do you want to do? Will you stay with me? He says, I've got a family to look after, I'll leave. So someone who comes in the service of the father and sees the performance, the attitude of the father, and sees exactly what has unfolded 30 years later, yet being with the Imam, with the father, witnessing the son, Imam al-Mujtaba, and again witnessing the third Imam, yet he has no faith in them. And many examples of that caliber, of this nature. And we are on the other side. We haven't seen the Imam. A gap of about 1300 years between us and him. Yet we have faith in the Imam. And that is great. And for us, the Prophet, he has spoken so loud. I'll quote a hadith from Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. There, he says that inna ahla zamana ghaybatihi, that the people of the time of ghayba, that is me and you, this time that when we are in the period where Imam is not present, is ghaib. Al qa'iluna bi imamatihi, those who say that he is our Imam. Al muntaziruna li zuhurihi, those who await his arrival. أَفْضَلُ أَهْلِ كُلِّ زَمَانِ Imam says, they are the best of all the people of every time. Why? Then Imam says, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى ذِكْرُهُ أَعْتَاهُمْ مِنَ الْأُقُولِ وَالْأَفْهَامِ وَالْمَعْرِفَ مَا صَارَتْ بِهِ الْغَيْبَةُ عِنْدَهُمْ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْمُشَاهَدَةِ That Allah has given them that understanding, that capability, that intellect. For them, Imam being present or absent, for them it doesn't matter. They have faith in their Imam. And Imam says that they are those great people, the best of all the creations of Allah, the best of people of every time. That is you and me, people who have faith in the Imam. And elsewhere, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says in the presence of his companions, he repeats this sentence twice. He says, Allahumma laqqini akhwati, that God, make it as such that I see my brothers, I meet my brothers. The companions present with Rasulullah, they say that, are we not your brothers? He says, no, you are my companions. And then he says again, my brothers are the people of the end of time. That is, people like you and me. Then he says that they are my brothers. They will have faith in me, although they haven't seen me. They will have faith in the Imam, although they haven't seen the Imam. They are my brothers. And God has made them known to me before their birth. And this is that their being steadfast and firm in their religion is tougher than clearing a tree full of thorns with their hands in a dark night. How tough that would be? We can see all these conspiracies, all these satanic issues around us. It's tough. When Ma'asum was inquired about what taqwa means, he says that in a dark jungle full of thorns, bushy, all these scorpions and all these poisonous creatures present over there, you are to pass through that jungle. It's tough. And that light, if it's given to you, where you can see your path to walk, that is taqwa. So the same thing is seen over here. We are drowned or we are surrounded with all this trash and mess, and it's tough to find our way out. The Prophet says that it's like clearing a tree full of thorns in a dark night with your naked bare hand. How tough is that? Says these people of the end of time, they will do it. And it's like holding flares of fire in one's palm. They are the torches in dark nights, and the Almighty God will protect them from every conspiracy. Again, dua of Prophet is also there. And then says, lucky those who are firm on this allegiance, and for a moment they never turn away. Again, if you see the creation of man, that Allah has created him, the ruling is that, or the right of every individual is that, he be present. If the Imam is in hiding, it is as if that right of living in the form of being present has been seized away from him. Or as if something has been imposed on him which doesn't allow him to be present. What is that? Absence of the Imam, or going into ghaibats, occultation of the Imam, we played no part in that. But our ancestors, whatever their performance was, as Harsamat bin Salim, one of the examples that was mentioned, who did not support the Imam, as a result of which there were not enough supporters to be with him, so Allah says, I will impose an occultation, a ghaibat on him. So, imposing of that ghaibat was the bad performance of our predecessors. But now that this ghaibat or this occultation of the Imam is being delayed so much, definitely we are at fault. It's our bad performance which doesn't allow the Imam to return. So, right of every human is that he lives present in the community. Now that Imam is not present, it's something that has been imposed on him. Every Imam has many titles, many names. But one of the names of the 12th Imam is Ghaib. No one else has that name. No one else has that title. That is the Unseen. And again, on the eve of Ashura, to the companions, Imam says, tomorrow he will die. The paradise is the reward, and any one of you who wants to leave, leave. No one leaves. On the day of Ashura, when the battle starts, Imam then says, shows them towards the heavens, that what is the place of each one of the Ashab will be, what place will be in the heaven. Now why did Imam not tell them earlier, not that morning or that evening on the 9th, or why not on the 1st of Muharram when they came to, on the 2nd when they arrived to Karbala? He doesn't say that. Because Imam wants to create companions and ashab who don't have that faintest desire and want for this world in their hearts. He wants them to be crystal clear, pure in every aspect. That it shouldn't be as such that they fought with the Imam for the sake of the paradise. So for them, Imam is the paradise himself. We have riwayat which say that that paradise was created by the noor of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. So when he shows them the paradise on the day of their death, he is certain that they won't be switching now. They've seen it, they've passed all their trials and tests, and that is what their abode and end would be in the hereafter. But if you see Quran again, Fir'aun, when over here Imam shows them after he was certain and they get it. Fir'aun, when he was drowning and he never accepted the invitation of Prophet Musa, when he was drowning and he sees his death with his own eyes, and the riwayat, they say that Jibreel, he descended, he boxed Fir'aun. That now is the time for your death. And that time he embraces, he says that I will accept, I embrace. But then Allah says it will not be accepted. Now that he has seen death with his own eyes, that he is drowning and about to die, that acceptance will not be accepted. Acceptance should be in normal circumstances that he has embraced. Embracing in time of danger, when a person is ruining, that will not be accepted. Over there again, it's the same thing. that they accepted way before, not for the sake of paradise, for the sake of Imam, for the sake of Allah. They were with him, and for them so loud, Imam also speaks. So is there anyone who sees the angels of punishment and does not embrace? If he does, it's not acceptable. That's what Quran says. In a report, Ma'soom, he says that if a young person protects his eyes from a non-mahram, someone who is not mahram to you, may that be a woman, may that be a man, if he or she protects his sight from a non-mahram, from looking at that woman or man who is not lawful for him or her to see, says that the moment he shifts his sight from that woman or man, or he shifts his sight, Allah has created a hoor for him or her in the hereafter, immediately. Just for that one sight, spitting it away, not looking at that haram. And again, to understand this in our day-to-day life, again quoting from marhum Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat's time, a taxi driver in Tehran, and in those days hijab was abandoned, says that I was driving and a beautiful girl, she asked me to stop, and she came into the car, and I had to drive her to a destination. And all the time I just wanted to see her, how she looked. Turn my head and see, a little glance, a little look. He says, I look at her in the mirror, but controlled myself. And after all those temptations and battles throughout that journey, he didn't look at her at all. And then he says to himself, now that she'd come down to pay me, I'll have a quick glance at her. But again then, when she comes down and she's paying, he doesn't look at her. The next day, he comes to the majlis of Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat. And after salam, the first thing Shaykh says to him is that because of protection of your eyes yesterday, you protected, you didn't look at that girl, Allah has already created a hoor for you, much more beautiful than whatever she was, and she's waiting for you in barzakh. Just for that little haram that a person does not do during his lifetime, that is how Allah compensates, and everything just builds up in the hereafter. The day Abu Abdullah was born, that is the 3rd of Shaban, there everyone, all the well-wishers, they used to come to the Prophet to say, to extend their congratulations to the Prophet. And among these people is Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. He's reporting, and again, after 100 years, our 5th Imam, he also asks Jabir to report, to repeat what he saw on that day to the Imam, and Imam certifies whatever he said. So Jabir was present then. At that time, our 5th Imam wasn't present, but Jabir is among those companions of Rasulullah who witnesses the Prophet right up to the 5th Imam. And he is the first one who comes to Karbala on the day of Arba'een and who recites that ziyarat of Aba Abdullah. So such a glorified, humble servant of Ahlul Bayt. Our 5th Imam asks him, Jabir, tell me what happened on that day. He says that like everyone, all well-wishers, I also went to the house of Fatima and Ali alayhim as-salam to extend my felicitations to them. And I saw by Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam, there was a tablet, like an award certificate, a note. And he says that that tablet, it was made of emeralds, and as if the sun is shining in that tablet. And I told her, what is that? She said that this is a lawh, a note, a certificate that Allah has sent through Jibreel to my father to be delivered to me, and that is on the birth of my son Hussein. And then Jabir says, will you allow me to have a look at that? She says yes. So that was how it was revealed. And then he says yes, she says yes, you can have a look at it. I'll just read a few phrases from that. It's a lengthy report. Starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. هذا كتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. A note from Allah, who is Aziz, the Mighty, Hakim, the Wise. لمحمد نبيه ونوره وسفيره وحجابه. To his ambassador, to his messenger, the Prophet, who is his light, and then who is his guide, نزل به الروح الأمين من عند رب العالمين. It brought forth through Jibreel to the Prophet. And then says, عظم يا محمد أسمائي, glorify my names, my messenger. وَشْكُرْ نَعْمَائِي, be thankful to all the blessings that I have given to you. إِنِّي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا, I am the Lord and there is no one except me. قَاسِمُ الْجَبَّارِينَ, مُدِيلِ الْمَظْلُومِينَ, دَيَّانِ الدِّينَ, and starts glorifying himself. And then comes to a point where he starts talking about the Prophet. And then says, who your successor will be after you. And then says, after you, your successor will be Ali. After him, it's going to be Hassan. And then says the qualities, the attributes that Allah talks about, says, وَجَعَلْتُ حُسَيْنًا خَازِنَ وَحْيِي. For Imam Mujtaba, he says, فَجَعَلْتُ حَسَنًا مَعْدِنَ عِلْمِي, that I have made Hassan the source of my knowledge. بَعْدَ انْقِضَاءِ مُدَّةِ أَبِي, after his father. And then says, وَجَعَلْتُ حُسَيْنًا خَازِنَ وَحْيِي. Hussein, I've made him the treasurer of my wahi. وَأَكْرَمْتُهُ بِالشَّهَادَةِ وَخَتَمْتُهُ لَهُ بِالسَّعَادَةِ, so on and so forth. And then comes to the fourth Imam, and then the fifth Imam, the sixth Imam. And then when it comes to the sixth Imam, there he says that, حَقُّ الْقَوْلِ مِنِّي لَأَكْرِمَنَّ مَثْوَى جَعْفَرَ وَلَأَسُرَّنَّهُ فِي أَشْيَاعِهِ وَأَنصَارِهِ وَأَوْلِيَائِهِ. That when it comes to the sixth Imam, he says that I will please him, who? Ja'far, the sixth Imam. How? Says through his Shias, that is through his followers. That is whoever the associates, the companions of the sixth Imam were then. Just bear in mind that I will please him through his followers, through his associates, through his companions. And then talks about the rest of the A'imma and comes to the 12th Imam. And when it comes to the 12th Imam, he says that the followers or the Shias, the companions or the people of the time who will be with the Imam, who will embrace his imamats, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا, that these followers or those who are the friends who have faith in the 12th Imam, Allah says, they are my friends. They are my awliya. When it comes to the people of the time of the 6th Imam, he says that I will please the 6th Imam through his associates, through his friends, or those who have faith in him. But for the associates of the 12th Imam, Allah says, they are my friends. Such loud, great words Allah has for the people of the end of time, just for that connection, that relationship that we have with the Imam. So when he has spoken so loud about us, so we should be proud. And it is a means of pride that we have been glorified by Allah in such a high way. So if that's the case, our performance also should be good, that we be, that he be pleased with us. Says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا. And again, when he says that, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا, continues and says that, بِهِمْ أَدْفَعُ كُلَّ فِتْنَةِ, that through these awliya of mine, who are the supporters of the 12th Imam, the associates of the 12th Imam, Allah says, I will put away every bala, every affliction from this world through them. That is, through people like you and me. That they are so good, they are my awliya, I will put away every affliction through them. بِهِمْ أَدْفَعُ كُلِّ فِتْنَةً عَمْيَا, and then say, I will put away every fitna, every dark fitna which will come across as a result of them. For Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, there is a lot. When it comes to the mazlumiyat or the oppression that was seen by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, that's also amazing that Imam lives for about 10 years from Imam Mujtaba's time till the unfolding of Ashura. And in those 10 years, so much of oppression with the Imam that people, they were scared to go to the Imam and talk to him. Imam of time, no one frequenting to him, no one going to his house, no one asking him anything. We have only about 270 ahadith reported from Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in those 10 years. So is that not a disaster? That an Imam be present, the grandson of Rasulullah, and no one going to him, no one frequenting with him, no one asking anything from him. Or in easier words, we could say that in every year, Imam has just 10 sentences to say to the people, to the nation. So that was an oppression, that everything is being deprived. He cannot speak. The environment was such that people were scared, no one stepped forward, etc., etc. For Abu Abdullah al-Hussein says, إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ مَحَبَّةً مَكْنُونَ. For Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, there is a love in the hearts of people that is hidden in them, that was embedded in them from their creation. So that is again another honor, another that has been given to us. Over there he says that أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا, that people of the end of time who have faith in the 12th Imam, who have faith in him although they haven't seen him, says they are my awliya. Bihim adfa'u kulla fitna, through them I put away every affliction, every bala, every fitna. How is that? Man, due to his performance, he comes to a point where we find in a hadith al-Qudsiyah, they say that when he sees, it's not him who sees. He sees with the eyes of God. He hears with the ears of God. Or his limbs are not his limbs. It is as if it's God himself. Or he himself becomes a reflection of Allah. Again, Ayatullah Wahid Khurasani, among the great ulama of the Shia world today, he says that during the time of the World War II, when the Russians, they had come towards the borders of Iran, and there he says that one of the doctors, he was shot. And it was a very tense time, no food, no drink, and all these problems from every side. The doctor, he says that a person was shot and he comes straight to his surgery, to his clinic. And says that, can you remove this bullet off me? The doctor says, I can, but I haven't got the tools over here. I can do it in the hospital if you want. There is no anesthetic and you won't be able to tolerate the pain. He says, all that is not required. If you could just remove the bullet, remove it. He says, okay, if that's your wish, I'll do it for you. Says, get on the bed and I'll prepare for the surgery to remove the bullet from you. He says, he sat on the bed, lied down, just said, Bismillah al-Nur, and he dozed off. The doctor, he performs the operation, takes the bullet off, he was wrapping the wound, and again he says, Bismillah al-Nur, and something else after that, and he wakes up. The doctor is amazed that this was a nice thing that I caught today, and becomes a friend with this person. And later on he finds out that he is among those people who frequents with the Imam very often. Frequents with the Imam very often. And then he says that, why doesn't Imam do anything? That all these afflictions that we are seeing today, these Russians who are pounding everyone from all sides, there is no food supply. Why doesn't Imam do anything? He says, Chera Agha Kari Nemi Kunan. Why doesn't Agha do anything? He, who is this person who was shot? He says, Russians are nothing. They must go. That's it. And says that afternoon, before Maghrib, there was a communication from the Tsar, from the Russian headquarters, and all of the troops, they went back. So Allah says, normally for the armies to return, it takes long. But there, they all turn back before that sunset. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا, that they are my friends, they are my awliya. So when they say something, it happens. When we say kun fayakun, that Allah, whenever He intends something, it happens. But someone who has come so close and has purified himself to that high rank, their word again, it's never let down. Allah never lets them down. Whatever they say, it happens. Now, being a friend of the Imam. Imam, we hear that there have to be 313 people who should be in the service of the Imam, and when they are there, only then will he come. Now that is for the arrival of the Imam. What about today? When the Imam is Ghaib, and there are tasks and affairs to be handled to of this entire creation of Allah, for this time, when Imam is Ghaib, he has an assembly. And that assembly has four groups, four categories. The first one, it's the Awtad. The second one, it's the Abdal. The third one, it's the Nuqaba. And the last category, it's the Rijalul Ghaib. The first batch, it has four people. Two of them are prophets. One of them is Prophet Khizr, and the other one is Prophet Ilyas. Now again, if you get some time, you've got this dua that we recite in the month of Rajab. There it says that Allahumma salla ala al-abdali wal-awtad, that O Allah, send salutations upon abdal and awtad. So abdal is that, awtad is that first group, abdal is the second group, and then nuqaba, the third one, and rijalul ghaib, the fourth. First batch, you've got four men over there. Two of them are prophets, Khizr and Ilyas. The other two are regular people. The second batch, Abdal, you have seven members in there. The third batch, which is Nuqaba, you have 40 members. And the last batch, which is Rijalul Ghaib, there are 360 members over there. If someone, now the lives of the two prophets, it's the extraordinary life which Allah has given to them. All other members, in all stages of that assembly of Imam, they are people like you and me having regular life, 60, 70, 80, whatever the life Allah has given to them. If someone passes away from the first batch, one of the members from the lower group, he gets a promotion and gets up. The same thing with the third and the fourth. If someone dies from the third, one of the members from the fourth, he gets a promotion and gets into the third batch. So there is a vacuum in the fourth group now. That vacuum has to be filled up by the appointment from the Imam to one of the people like you and me. So he appoints. Come, it's not such that someone gives, sends in an application whether or not it's accepted. It was mentioned quite a few times, I think over here, that Imam, he comes in search of mu'mineen. He says, you be good, I will come after you. You don't take the trouble of coming after me. So we have an Imam who is that great. Again, Marhum Ja'far Agha-i Mujtahidi, we talked about him quite a few times this time. He was honored and favored by many of the Maraji'i Taqlid. And they say that the tasks that were done by this alim were the tasks assigned to him through Ahlul Bayt, a great position which he possesses. That is what Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Marashi used to say. He says that once he was walking to Mashhad. Now, walking to Mashhad because Imam said, go to Mashhad. He got lost. And he says that, I said to Imam, that is the eighth Imam, that you told me to come. I've done my job. I'm lost. It so happens that there is a flashlight, there is a navigation which takes him straight to Mashhad in a blink of an eye. On the way back, he says that that navigation did not exist. I was walking back, but I came past a place, there was a tent. And I saw the companions of the Imam, the Abdal and the Awtad, the first two batches, the four and seven people present over there. So these are great personalities who have access to Imam, access to his associates, etc. Inshallah, if we get some time, we'll shed some more light on this. So the topic is that how to be a friend of the Imam. And it is possible to be a friend because it is not the aliens or people from out of this earth who will come and support the Imam. It's just me and you, you and I. And may Allah make it as such, purify us in a way that we be his associates, his helpers, and whatsoever is asked from us, is wanted from us, is desired by the Imam for us, we can serve him in whatever way, in whatever manner. In Ziyarat Ali Yasin, that too again is among those beautiful ziyarat, quoted from, reported from the 12th Imam himself, says that وَأَنْتَمْلَأَ قَلْبِي نُورَ الْيَقِينِ وَمَوَدَّتِي نُورَ الْمُوَالَاتِ. God, make it as such that you fill this heart of mine, this vessel, with نور اليقين, with certainty, with yaqeen. Not just yaqeen, a yaqeen which is all نور, all pure, all enlightened. And it was mentioned that if we want all that enlightenment, that purity has to exist first. All that trash has to be thrown out. When the trash is gone out, نور can take place. جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. That حق, if it wants to come in, باطل has to go out. حق and باطل, they can't be together at any time. Says that ومودتي نور الموالات. God, that if I love the Imam, that love should be crystal clear. That should be نور. That should be all enlightening. Or if you see Ziyaratul Jamiatul Kabira, again the same thing is over there. It says بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ عَلَّمَنَ اللَّهُ مَعَالِمَ دِينِنَا. That if a person comes to the presence of Ma'sumeen, of the 12th Imam in particular, he just gains. There's nothing to lose. We approach the Imam, automatically everything is given to us. بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ عَلَّمَنَ اللَّهُ مَعَالِمَ دِينِنَا. Allah will teach us all that what we need to know from his deen. And then says, وَأَصْلَحَ مَا كَانَ فَسَدَ مِنْ دُنْيَانَا. And all that is wrong and lacking in our world, that will be compensated as a result of that connection we create with Ma'asumeen. So, a person benefits from them. No matter. And again, these salutations that we recite upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. That salawat is recited for them, but we benefit, we get purified. And again, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says in Nahj al-Balagha that Inni uridukum lillah, that I want you all for the sake of God. That is, he is as if marketing and bringing clients for Allah. That Inni uridukum lillah, wa antum turidunani li'anfusikum. But you guys, you just want me for yourself. Well, in any case, that's not bad. It's better than having no relationship at all. And in one of these visions that were seen in Masjid al-Jamkaran, there our 12th Imam, to one of his ashab who frequents with him, says that out of these 2 million people, 3 million people present over here, he says, all of them have come to this mosque, which is my mosque. Everyone is present over here. None of them want me as much as you've got this water, you are thirsty, you want to drink that water. None of them wants me as much as that need of yours to those few drops of water that you have. So everyone is here for his own sake, that I've got problems, I need this, I need that, so on and so forth. Well, in any case, even if that's the case, it's better than having a no relationship. But now that we have a connection created, bridged with the Imam, we should upgrade it to a better level, to a nicer level. And that is, we be with the Imam, and that is, for the sake of the Imam himself. Elsewhere, says that فَكَانُوا هُمُ السَّبِيلِ وَالْمَسْلَكَ إِلَىٰ رِضْوَانِكَ. That if we want to get to Allah, the path is they, Ahlul Bayt. The path is the 12th Imam. Through him we can find an easy access to the Imam. Again, I'll quote another incident from the Ma'asumeen, that what a love and devotion, a bond they have with us. سموت. In one of the du'as, our 12th Imam, he says that Allahumma inna shi'atana minna, that our shi'as are from us, but that you have created them with the same clay that we were created, mixed with the same light that we were mixed. And then says they've done a lot of wrong, all these sins they have done in their life. Now these sins are sometimes huququllah, between them and their Lord. Sometimes they are huququn nas, that is between the people themselves. It's money matters. Says that, if it is that huququllah, O God, I mediate, forgive them, waive them. And if it is huququn nas, he says that, God make them rich, so much rich, that khums becomes wajib on them. Khums is my right. I will pay their debts with that right of mine, with my money. We have an Imam who is that kind, who is all love, who is all devotion. Ayatullah Milani, Ayatullah Al-Uzma Milani, one of the Maraji Taqleed of the Shia world, who lived in Mashhad in the mid-50s, I believe, of the past century. He says that During his time, in Najaf, there were two Maddas, two brothers, who lived over there, and they recited really good when it came to Majalis, when it came to know Hamarsiya, etc. And they were renowned in the town. It so happens that a caravan from India comes to Najaf, and they see the two brothers reciting so good. They are moved and touched by the way how this recitation is being done. They invite the two brothers to Bombay. Now, first of all, how did those Indians who came to Karbala understand this language of how beautifully these brothers are reciting Farsi or Arabic? Now, when it comes to the aza of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, the language is the language of love, devotion. Whether you understand or whether you don't understand, no matter what the language is, when you get to that majlis, automatically you benefit from it. That is the language of love when it comes to Aba Abdullah. And they invite the two brothers to India. And it so happens that they go and they start traveling to India once in a while. And in those days, they used to travel by ship, by sea. And in one of these visits, when they come to Bombay, there was a caravan that was going to Hajj, for Hajj. The younger brother says to the elder brother that we are mustati'a now, and Hajj is wajib on us. We have to perform Hajj. It's getting late. The elder brother says that we have committed. We have to come and recite here first. And then inshallah we'll do the Hajj later on. The younger brother says, no, we have to. And there is a little debate, a hot debate between the two brothers. The younger brother says that I'll leave, and he goes for Hajj. The elder brother stays in Bombay. When he comes back after Hajj, he says that I'll come back as quick as I can so that I can perform the commitment as much as I could from the month of Safar, for example. And he comes back in the last days of the month of Safar. Comes and sees that the way people used to welcome him prior to this visit was different. And this time it's a different way they have welcomed him. Gradually he finds out that the brother has died, the elder brother. That's the reason why he was welcomed in that way. And then he says that I was worried that this brother of mine has died far away from his homeland, gharib, alone, with no one of his family members over here. And on top of that, he died without performing a Hajj. He was just shattered by this, that what is going to happen. He prayed that Allah make it as such that I see what's happening with my brother, if I could do anything to him. And a mukashifa, in one of these dreams that was seen by him, he sees his brother. He says that, tell me what happened. Where are you? And what is your position over there? He says, everything was a mess. I was put into the worst places over here in this barzakh. And for not performing that hajj during my lifetime. And then he says that in that barzakh, but then he says that the situation changed later on. In that barzakh, he says that one day the two angels, they came to drag me, to take me to a place which is worse than where I was placed earlier. He says, when those two angels were dragging me, taking me to that worse place, I started reciting, because it was mentioned that whatever ons we have in this dunya, that ons remains with us in the hereafter. If it is ons with Ahlul Bayt, that remains. If it is recitation, that remains. If it is Quran, that remains. If it is love for trash in this world, that also too remains. If it is love for stones, that remains. Says that, no, his owns, his attachment, acquaintance was with the recitation. He says that when these two angels were dragging me towards that cell, which is going to be the worst one than this one, I started reciting. Daste mano inayatu lutfu ataye Fatima. That my hand extended grace and bestowals of Fatima. Qalbe mano mahabbatu ruze jazaye Fatima. My heart, her love, and the day of reward of Fatima. Bibazle daste Fatima bikhaake paaye Fatima. Says that by the bestowals of the hand of Fatima, by the dust of the feet of Fatima. And then says, Manam gidaye Fatima, Manam gidaye Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima. Rishteye mihre Fatima, suye khuda kishad mara, the chains of love of Fatima drags me towards Allah. Dil bevelash dadam tabe kuja kishad mara. I've surrendered my heart to her love. Let's see till where it's going to drag me and take me. And then says, Dard agar ata kunad yab bala kishad mara. That is it pain that will be given to me or afflictions, again, if it's that love for Fatima, I'm ready to bear that. Pai burun nemi daham az dareku ya Fatima. That I will never walk away from this lane of Fatima. Manam geda ya Fatima, manam geda ya Fatima. I am the beggar of Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima. He says, I started pleading and calling her with this qasida. And all of a sudden, I was instructed to be taken to the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because he is Qasim al-Jannati wal-Nar. When I come to the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he has a sharp look at me. And to the angels who brought me, who escorted me, by the instructions of Hazrat Zahra, says that, why did you bring him here? He is assigned that cell and he needs to go there. I was brought back, I was dragged back, and again I repeat the same qasida that was I reciting for her, that Daste mano inayatu lutfu ataye Fatima, until the end. And this time she comes herself, says that she escorts me with those two angels to Amirul Mu'mineen. And Amirul Mu'mineen, for Hazrat Zahra, he is all respect. She says, Ali, my dear, do something. He's been a lover of us. He loved us. He recited for us. He cried for us. He made others cry for us, for my Hussein. Do something. Imam in reply says that, what can I do? The instructions given to me are that someone who has died not performing his hajj, mata yahudiyan aw nasraniyan, has died a death of a Jew or a Christian. What can I do? Clear instructions given to me. She says, Ali, John, do something, do something. I need to save him. And then she says, Mahdi, calls her grandson. Immediately Imam al-Asr is present over there. Now before the grandfather and the grandmother, he too is all respect. Says, yes, what can I do? She says, this year, I want you to perform a hajj on behalf of this badda. He has a shortfall in his performance, and I want you to do his hajj this year. He says yes, and he performs the hajj for this madda. Now someone whose hajj has been performed by the 12th Imam, that is a perfect hajj, a complete hajj, and he says to his brother that as a result of that hajj that was performed by the Imam of time, my situation over here changed, and I was blessed and granted a place in this barzakh that cannot be defined. When it comes to Ahlul Bayt, a person just benefits. The stronger the connection with them, the more he benefits. When it comes to the Hazlahiyat of Ahlul Bayt, in particular Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have in Ziyarat, says that As-salamu alayka ya asbaru sabirin, that salutations and salam be upon you who is the most patient. That is, who is the patient of the patient. Why is all that patience? And we don't find these words for any other Imam. It's only for Amir al-Mu'mineen. For Amir al-Mu'mineen, as the sixth Imam, he says that Aba Abdullah, he saw the afflictions. But the afflictions that were seen by this Imam were never seen by Aba Abdullah. On the day of Ashura, when they were attacking and everyone was killed, Aba Abdullah says to them, you have no faith, you have no deen. At least have that respect that so long as I am alive, do not go towards my household. And they accepted. They said, he is a benevolent person, he is Kareem, we'll take his word, we will not go after the house, after the women and children, so long as he is alive. But for Amir al-Mu'mineen, that's not the case. Amir al-Mu'mineen, when that message is given to him through Jibreel, to be given to the Prophet, the two messages given to him, the first one is that, Ali, you have to be patient, that you, this nation of Rasul must not disunite after you. He says, okay. The second message when it is given to him, Ali, he falls as if a mountain breaks. What is that? And then he faints. The message is that, Ali, after you, Zahra will be disrespected. Aba Abdullah never saw his women and children being beaten up while he was alive. But Amir al-Mu'mineen saw that. That's why Imam says, As-salamu alayka ya asbar al-sabirin, salam be upon you who is the most patient. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalbin yanqalibun. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان. May Allah hasten the arrival of our Imam and enlist us among his true servants, among his true supporters, and those who seek martyrdom in his service. All those who are ill and ailing by Hazrat Zahra alayha salam, may Allah grant them shifa. All those who have passed away by her, may Allah elevate their ranks. May Allah forgive them. May Allah forgive us. May Allah count us and our children among the best Muslims who ever existed. Allahumma ajjal fi faraji maulana sahib al-zaman. Matam-e Hussain.